I want to talk to you something, a particular way of praying today in the area of binding and loosing. I want you to consider some different things today in how you pray. I found in preparing this message that I was really wanting in this area, that I tend to be, when I get focused, a get things done type of person. In other words, I'm doing some radio programs now, for example. So I do 5 radio programs each week, half-hour program. It's on our station. Eventually, it'll be on air. Or rather, I should say, on the internet here. We got to just download them for our site. And I'm teaching on America's Christian history. Very interesting. Very interesting topic. I'm learning quite a bit. But how effective is that? Am I really changing any hearts? Am I changing any minds? Are people moving? You know, you listen to the secular news and various things, and they'll tell you everybody's made up their mind already. Nobody's moving. Nobody can change their mind. They're locked in. They're frozen. What's going to change people? Why are we frozen in? Why are we? I believe we're convicted. I'm convicted of the truth of the gospel. I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit of what's right and what's wrong. That's how I walk. That's how I believe. That's how I want to be more and more like Jesus. That's my goal. But we go about our life pretty much as usual, and we have a tendency to always move into the physical realm because it feels like we have power. We can do things there. And we want to be action Jacksons. We want to get things done. And yet, we're not that effective. If we were, this country wouldn't be where it is today. It would be a different country, a much better place to live, a lot less conflict. And yes, we wouldn't have 300, 400 denominations with people all trying to be a little bit different to prove that they're a little bit better when they're not. We would be a Christian nation. We'd have some disputes, we'd have some differences in our interpretation of the Word of God, but the basic fundamental things would always be the same. The ground at the foot of the cross is always level, and it would stay that way. But let me move on into the message very quickly so that we can get through it, okay? And I want to review some things. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. And here we are supposed to be action people. Verse 17. And then the 70 who God sent, the Lord sent out, returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, look and see, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but that rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want to talk about the Dahimani, this demons, for a moment. They're a divine power, a deity, divinity, a spirit of some sort, a being inferior to God, but superior to natural man. Notice I said natural man, because when you were born again, something changed in your life, and you became a spiritual person. Christ came to dwell in you by the Holy Spirit. You became a child of God. And then we find that even the spirits are subject to them. And what are the spirits? Well, it's another term. It's a different word now in the Greek, but it's a simple essence, devoid of all or at least all material. One Greek lexicon says gross matter, but material matter. And possessed, and yet, here's these spirits, they're possessed of the power of knowing, desiring, deciding, and acting. These spirits need a physical body to act out through. These are the kinds of things that get into people that can cause sickness in them. The woman bent over double can bring thoughts into your mind. That's where you fight the battle in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. So it's used of demons or evil spirits. It's even used of a disembodied person when you die. And they saw Jesus on the water. What did they say? Oh, a spirit. They didn't think it was a physical being on the water. Okay? So all authority, we remember, comes from God and is given to us to use for his purpose. And what is his purpose? To set the captives free, to disarm, to take down the powers of darkness. And whether you are 5 or you are 100, when you are in Christ, you have the authority to do this. And if you're a parent, don't be afraid to work with your children on these things. Don't be afraid of these spirits. Listen, let them know who they are in Christ. Make sure they're in Christ. And then let them know the authority that they have. Because so many of their students, their fellow students, friends, are influenced by this, by demonic forces. This world isn't crazy all by itself. It's gone crazy because of something. There's a cause that brings about the effect of division and hostility and anger and hatred. So we're given the ability now to bind and loose, to demonstrate. First set people free and demonstrate the kingdom of God over the powers of darkness. But what are we to bind? And how do we do effectively minister in this area? Well, first of all, we have to understand that we're struggling, and I'm going to go back over these things probably every week while we're going through this. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, we know that 1/3 of the angels fell in the rebellion in heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. But without getting into going too far in here, let's just say that angels have bodies, and they may have been deformed in some way, but they physically have spiritual bodies of some sort. Now, demons don't. There may be a lesser creation that fell. We don't know. So we're not really sure what these things are. The Bible isn't really clear on that. But we do know that they have the ability to think, like I said, have thoughts, desires, etc., and manipulate. So we see a hierarchy, a chain of command that we're up against. It's like an army. But we're an army too. Understand that. We have a commander in chief. And what's his name? Jesus. That's correct. That's who we stand under. And he has forces that are far more powerful than we can imagine that he puts at times at our disposal. But we're in a spiritual battle. People are bound by things that they cannot see. Just think about this. How many of you are bound by your thinking? Your thinking has you in a place where you're stuck and you can't get out. And your thinking affects your emotions and your feelings. Your feelings towards people. Your feelings about things. You can be as much in prison mentally as you can be in prison physically. Now, you know that, and I know that, and yet that's all through something that you don't see, correct? Like, so remember that. Remember, the power of the invisible is real. It may not be tangible. I can't grab it, but it can grab me, and it can grab you. Secondly, we find in Daniel that in the spiritual realm, there are beings that rule over nations. And we also find out in the fact that God sent this messenger, and the messenger was held up by the prince of Persia. And so this prince of Persia, an evil spirit, was able to stop God's messenger from getting through for 21 days. But what did God do? Then he sent Michael, one of the chief princes, and he just came and broke him right loose to overpower the prince of Persia, you might say. So we don't understand this exactly, but we do know that in the spiritual realm, these battles take place. Now, this is before Satan was dethroned by God when Christ died on the cross and an open show was made of him. But that's besides the point. So when we look at the list of the order and rank from the highest to the lowest in Ephesians, we have recognized they have this order. Now, on the day you were born again, on that day, that very day, the instant that you said, Jesus, come into my heart, God took you like this from over here under the powers of darkness. He put you into the kingdom of his beloved son, and he did one more thing. He said, come here, daughter, son, I'm setting you right here with your, my son in the heavenly places. You are now here and you can rule and reign with me. And you were just a baby, but still, as a newborn creature in Christ, you were put above all of these powers and principalities. Now, so we stand in faith in Ephesians with a shield of faith, clothed in Christ, warding off the arrows, the fiery darts of the evil one, and wielding a two-edged sword that God has given us to defeat these enemies, to bind them, to loose them, to cut them down. We're given the word of God. We need to use it. We find now that we have to bind the strong man before we can plunder his house. Now, we spoke about that last week, so I won't go back to it. You can go back and get that message online, binding the strong man. There's two messages on that. But suffice to say that there's a system here that when you take control over the power, whether it's one of the ruling forces of darkness or the one that might be in a person, you are now able to plunder the house, Jesus says. Well, what's the plunder? I want to move today from this whole concept of deliverance, you know, in dealing with the person who is demonized, to basically people who are bound and cannot receive the gospel. And this is where we seldom war as Christians. We miss it in this area completely. And I want to talk to that to you about this. So here's what Jesus said. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What is the plunder in the strong man's house? Now, I want to go to back to our book from Foster on this binding and loosing. And he brings in another whole concept here that was used over 100 years ago by missionaries to reach lost people and to see these people come to Christ. There's some phenomenal stories in there dealing with the shaman. And you have these we'll call them shaman or better, what would I say, witch doctors. And they come to kill these Christians, and they've bound them, and the missionaries are going to come. They say, no, don't come. We'll fight this battle ourselves. It was important for them to win that battle in this particular area without having these white missionaries coming in. They wanted to show they could do it themselves, trusting God. It says there that even when they went to throw their spears, their arms froze in the air. They were literally broken down there. All their gods that they brought were destroyed. It's just an amazing story. But let's move on here. So what is the plunder? The plunder is the thing of the greatest value to God. And that value is people who are held captive by the god of this world. We are looking at people, we see these people doing things, they're evil, we know that they're evil, we want to take them, we want to grab them by the neck, we want to maybe you want to punch them in the face, I don't know what you want to do, I hope you don't want to do that. But remember this, they're bound. They don't know what they're doing. They themselves are just enjoying doing evil, and you would say they are evil because they are, because when you yield to evil, you become evil. Do you understand that? So, What's the issue? The issue is, I'll read this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, I've given these testimonies before, but they're worthwhile to give again. I'll make it very quick. First is the woman who I have in my home with my late wife, who's come there and she's been coming to a Bible study, and now she's come to the place where she wants to receive Christ as Lord, but she can't. I mean, she literally cannot. She goes to speak, her mouth contorts, she's like twisted, and I say, "In the Lord Jesus, can't even speak." I realize it's a demonic influence, and I go right after it. We go right after it. We bind it. I can't get her to speak, but finally I say, "Jay, just say Jay," and I get it to spell out the name Jesus. When she finishes spelling out the name, it's broken. She's normal. She's set free. And she received Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. You have to see these things to believe it. I'm telling you, I mean, the things that happen are just amazing. Then I have the college student down in Boston who I'm at a meeting with Demas Shakarian. Demas Shakarian has just met me. I'm the president of Full Gospel up here, vice president with Tom and Fenton. And anyway, there's a girl that comes, a young college student. And she has a Catholic background. He knows that I have a Catholic background. So he says, "Ron, can you pray for her?" But knowing Demas and making sure that I really got out of the Catholic background, he sends two Assembly of God guys to be with me, right? So they come over. And so there's three of them. And now they take her through the sinner's prayer. And she prays the prayer. But something's wrong. And I can sense in the spirit that something's wrong. They're all happy. And I said to her, whatever her name was, I won't mention her name, also Mary. I said, "Mary, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven?" And she says, "I don't know." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, how can somebody who died over 2,000 years ago do anything for me today?" Now, I want you to hear this. This is years ago. But even then, nobody, they don't know the scriptures anymore. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what Jesus did. But I realize there's something else. And I say, "You spirit of doubt, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you. Come out of her." I said to the two brothers, "Pray for her again." And they lead her through that sinner's prayer again. You should see her. The glory of God just shining through her, the peace of God. And she comes to Christ. She says, "Yes, I know that I know. Now, she needed some further help. And that's a whole other story in itself, and it's quite a story of her deliverance, of her moving from a whole different lifestyle into a lifestyle now, a godly lifestyle, winding up being a missionary into South America. Wonderful story about this young woman. But boy, I'll tell you what a fight to get her set free. And all she was fed was that secular, humanistic nonsense that you're free, do whatever you want to do. And all she wound up was in bondage. And bondage and broken, rejected and used. And now a new creation comes forth because of the glory of God. So, those are just two quick examples. Now, my question is this, and I posed it last week. If two people who are blinded by the God of this world could be loosed from his stronghold, why not 10 people? Why not 100 people? Why not 1,000? Why not 10,000? Why not tens of thousands to be set free? But who will help them? Who's going to do this? You, me, the church. We have to begin to realize that we have to pray for this country and for these people and to bind these forces of darkness that are blinding them and open their hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to be intent in that prayer. So the true treasure is sealed. This is from Foss's book, Binding and Loosing. In the case of all evangelistic endeavors, the true treasure are human souls. Indeed, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Mark 8:36. This immense wealth of human souls under the control and dominion of the strong man can be spoiled. In other words, they are the spoil. They can be set free. They are treasure that is being bound up by the forces of darkness. And the rescue takes place when the strong man is bound. Then his house may be plundered. So we still need people out there sharing the gospel. We still need the church to be alive. We still need to have conversations, but we need to be praying for people to be loose from the darkness. Jesse Penn Lewis, in an article in the Alliance Weekly, this is over 120 years ago, by the way, how to pray for missionaries is one of the clearest statements relating to Matthew's principle of binding and loosing to missions. Here's an excerpt from this. Our argument for an aggressive stance in missionary warfare, she's speaking of loosing souls from the power of God, of the God of this world. From the very beginning, she says, of his ministry, our Lord Jesus went forward with a steady, aggressive warfare against the powers of darkness. He also gave his disciples the same authority. That's you folks. That's me. And in every place where they went, they had two main things to do, to preach and to cast out demons. The Lord himself refused to deal with flesh and blood or with the secular powers of his time, although he thereby disappointed many who would have accepted him as the Messiah had he done so. His one objective, from the time of his baptism in the Jordan to the hour of his work on Calvary, was the conquest of the prince of this world so that he might redeem his captives and put him in open shame. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. For this purpose, he came into the world. Luke 4, 18. John 10, 1 through 18. And on the eve of the cross, he was able to say, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Penn Lewis had earlier addressed the authority of the believer and spiritual warfare in a missiological context in 1897 China Inland Mission Conference. So it's a lot of years ago, you know. But they were doing this then. This is how they were getting people set free in praying and taking down the strongholds. And we forget some of these things. And we just look at this and we limit it to it. We limit ourselves so much, it's ridiculous. G. Campbell Morgan also understands Matthew's intent, holding the belief that the treasures, the furniture in the strong man's house are indeed lost people. The goods in the strong man's house, the treasures, are lost people. This is how J. Campbell Morgan looked at it, another missionary. So Foster goes on to say, first, let me back up. God's children who have entered into his victory by the cross also know something of what it is to bind the strong one. His cross is the force that sets us free to spoil the house of the strong one and rescue souls. So Foster went on to say then in his book, there are reasons I think the Holy Spirit has placed this pivotal passage in all three synoptic gospels. Each in his own way reinforces the missiological and evangelistic intent in bringing the strong man in, loosing the evangelistic impulse, the ability for the gospel and for people to go forth to share the gospel. All too often, attempts are made to brush by the strong man to get to the work of the Lord. No Christian workers are more vulnerable to this error than the materialistic, secularist, technological, and spiritually insensitive missionaries from the Western world. I think he's talking about us. You know, we have all of this technology. And boy, I tell you, this just hit me. Just smack. I said, oh man, look at this. So in the study of the relationship of binding and loosing to evangelism, missions draws any conclusion at all? What do we draw from this study such? Brushing by the binding of the strong man is a grave, grave error in kingdom work. And that binding the strong man is a first work, one of the first things we should be doing. Today, look, we have so many ways of reaching people. And there's nothing wrong with technology. We, the people, go forward. Relationships, conversations with people, talking to them, opening hearts. But we're alive on video right now on the internet. We have a radio station that's out there broadcasting. We're sending out these messages, all of these messages on America's Christian history. Let me tell you something. I realize, oh, look, I got 5 messages done. They're out and going. So right now I've got 30 messages preached in the last, 3 weeks? 4 weeks, 30 messages preached out there on the history of this country. How effective are they? I don't know. I don't think they're anywhere near as effective as they can be if you would join with me and we would start binding the forces of darkness out there and opening hearts to the message of the gospel and to the message that America had a good foundation. This is a great country, the greatest country that ever came into existence in the history of the world. It really is. It's a light to other nations. It's a hope to other nations, but it's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And we stand at an abyss. We're not at a tipping point anymore. The tipping point already came. That's come. And we've tipped in the wrong direction. Now, either we go into that abyss and we don't get out of it, or we bring this nation back up and God brings it back up. But it won't happen unless we do our part. Make our effort, stand in faith, and take on the forces of darkness, bind them, and set free the captives that are being held in bondage by the devil himself. So, like I said, we're quick to use the tools, but we don't do the first thing first. That's what I just sat there saying, oh man, I got the messages out. And I thought, all of these 30 messages, how many of them have I prayed over? 1, 2? Oh no. They're up. They've been uploaded. They're uploaded, so it's all done. No, it's not all done. They're going out on the air. And they're gonna go right through that principality air. And with your prayers and our binding and our loosing, they'll get into the hearts of men because their blindness will be removed. And I always get the gospel in of salvation somehow in each one of those messages. Squeeze it in. So let's make binding and loosing the strong man and loosing the captives in prayer the first order of our business. Now, I can go on to say a few other things here, but I just want you to think, because I've probably heard some of you say some of these things. For example, I've heard conservatives say that liberalism, secular humanism, is a mental illness. I don't know if you ever heard that, but now why would anybody say that? Now, some of you are nodding your heads. I got it. Well, why are you nodding your heads? Because all you have to do is look at history, see the result of the policies of these things, and all you got to do then is count the dead. 200 million under Islam, 55 million under Hitler, 160 million under Stalin and Khrushchev in the Ukraine and in other places. And it goes on and on and on. All of these people starving, people starved to death, people killed, people assassinated. You just look at it. It's butchery. That's what it is. Why? Because man is center. Man has control. Man has power. And I don't like the way you're talking. Get rid of him. And they have the power to do it. Cut off their food supply. They have the power. 30 million in China on one program by Mao. Let's try this. Oh, 30 million people starved to death. Well, that didn't work. Let's do something different. This is the kind of thing that you have, okay? So let me say this. What if, you know, what's described as mental illness is not mental illness at all, but deception? What if it's a blinding, a darkness that always looks at all of these other things that happened in the past and says, oh, you can't learn anything from history. With more money, we can do better. It's literally, oh, it's a right to life. 61 million lives snuffed out in the womb and now on the table. Now they want to go 6 months before they decide whether you're going to kill a baby or not. What's wrong with us? Well, you know, some of you are looking pretty old out there. I mean, are you any good anymore? What happens when you have trouble walking? Maybe we should get rid of you. You go back to socialism and look at England, you'll see a guy said, at age 60, kill him. This is true. This is one of the chief socialists in forming the socialist policies. What is behind them? It's demonic. Look at it. So all I'm saying is this, look, everybody gets some messed up. So like I said, count the hundreds of millions killed by those who promised a better way. lying, deceiving spirits. They continue to capture multitudes in their webs of vain philosophy and deceit, spirits of rebellion, witchcraft, unforgiveness, hatred, violence, and such eventually rear their ugly heads. And the promise is a better way is no more than an invitation to follow on the wide road that leads to destruction. That's all it is. Come. All come in. Hey, this will help you. You're going to feel better. Take this. It's heroin. It won't bother you. It'll make you feel better. And next thing you know, that's your mother. That owns you. You're in bondage to it. But I just wanted to help him, giving him this. No. You see how that works. So let's take our rightful place in Christ and bind the forces of darkness and loose the people that are bound. And then let us take every opportunity to present the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of freedom, a gospel of hope, a gospel that elevates man from his sinful nature into the godly character and nature of Almighty God, the Creator, who made man in his own image and likeness. Can you say amen?